Hallelujah. It's great to see everybody. Again, our worship team, outstanding. They did an outstanding job. Praise the Lord. Eric and then all those young people up there. I don't know who's the oldest. I'm not even going to go there. It might be one of the ladies. We don't want to go there. Right? Praise the Lord. No, they all do. You know, we've got so many different teams around it, and they just pick up and go. Praise the Lord. It's an awesome thing. Awesome thing. Well, a couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to minister on a Sunday night, we talked about the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in tongues. And in a time when a lot of folks are, even in the Pentecostal world, are backing off of speaking in tongues and the necessity and the power of it and the benefit of it, I think it's time to look at the scriptures once again, not our opinion, but what do the scriptures say? So tonight I want to pick up and talk about scriptural purposes for speaking in tongues. Now, I do again recommend the book Tongues Beyond the Upper Room and Why Tongues, but that we have out from Brother Hagin and from his teachings on this subject. And of course, we're indebted to him for putting these things before us, and we thank God for what the revelation of it that he had. And so we want to look tonight from the Word of God. Now, we did say that there are five instances in the book of Acts where people, as said, were filled with the Spirit or baptized with the Holy Ghost. Of course, Acts 2:4, they were all filled. What did they do? They were filled and they did what? Spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice, they spoke. Holy Spirit didn't speak. The Spirit gave the utterance. They spoke. All right. And then Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ unto them. They had great joy in the city. They accepted, heard the word of God. They received the word of God. Signs and miracles taking place. When Peter and John and the disciples had heard that these things had taken place, they went down and they said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" And they said, "No." And so they ministered there. And something took place because one man, Simon, who used to be a sorcerer, who had believed, he wanted to buy the power to whoever he laid hands on would receive the Holy Ghost. He saw something take place. There was some outward evidence. We're not told exactly what it was, but if it was like Acts 2:4, they spoke with tongues. Then in Acts chapter 9, as Ananias is told by the Lord to go minister to Saul at that time, who had a vision on the road to Damascus, and he said, "Brother Saul, I come to lay my hands on you that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, you say, well, did Paul speak with tongues then? I don't know, but Paul said, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all." Paul was for. He said, "Forbid not to speak with tongues." Amen. I know I've heard Brother Hagin related a story of an incident from his life where someone, you know, a so-called Bible scholar had said to another friend of his that Paul took a dim view of speaking in tongues. He talked about, you know, that I'd rather speak five words in a known language in the assembly than 10,000 other tongues. Well, that's just common sense there. If I'd have stood up today and just started speaking in tongues, you know, I might be edified, but you're not getting anything, are you? So we got to speak in the known tongue. And if it's not known tongue, we better have someone there to translate if it's the language here. But we do know that he did speak with tongues. Then in Acts chapter 10, Peter's down at the household of Cornelius. And as he spoke, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And the Bible says, "We heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Glory to God. Just like he did. So we know there. Then in Acts 19, Paul in Ephesus, he asked them if they'd received the Holy Ghost. They said, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost." Any of you grew up in that church? But, you know. But they did. And so he laid hands on them and they spoke with tongues, prophesied and magnified God there. And so that's the initial evidence. But what are some other purposes? Let's look at some things. Number one, speaking in tongues is a supernatural means of speaking to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again, we're not going to look at new scriptures. We're reminding ourselves. Now, some of you may never have heard these things. That's great. That's great. This is for you tonight. Some of you have heard these things 30 years ago. That's great. This is for you tonight. All right? So, praise the Lord. This is for all of us to remind ourselves. to give the importance to, and then not just to know how important, but to practice in our individual life. We're not talking about public ministry here tonight. We're talking about in our individual lives and our relationships with God, the purposes of speaking in other tongues, all right? 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? Who are you talking to when you speak in your own private time and you're speaking in tongues? Who are you talking to? God. It's supernatural also. It's not a language you know. It's supernatural. It says, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later, but you're speaking things you don't know about. One place it talks about secret plans. That here, another translation says, you speak out God's secret plans concerning your life. But we're speaking unto God. It's a way to talk to God. And I'm convinced from the Word of God that the devil doesn't understand what you're saying either. And I think that's one reason he's fought it so hard. Why he said that. You've heard people say, probably if you've been around long enough, well, that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Well, I never heard, you know. First of all, there's no biblical reference for that. And, you know, you see a whole lot of babbling, but maybe not speaking in tongues and the devil's hangouts, right? But he's against anything the devil's so against, you know there must be a powerful truth there. And there's been a lot of lies told about this subject. Now, again, this is by the Spirit. It's the evidence. It's the tool. We're not, when you get filled with the Spirit, it's not you're getting tongues. You're getting the Holy Ghost. All right? He's in us in the new birth. And in the new birth, it's that well of living water springing up that brings what? The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. But here we're talking about that living water that's a river flowing out of us. Amen? It's flowing out of us. And it is supernatural, all right? Another purpose and benefit of speaking in tongues is the spiritual edification that takes place. Look down in verse 4 of this same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. See, we're speaking. Prophesy means to speak by the inspiration. Hopefully we're speaking tonight by inspiration that you might be edified. But in your private time, not in ministry, but in your time talking to God, when you're speaking to God, as we do that, we are edifying ourselves. Now, if you look that word edify up, it means to charge up like you do a battery. Any of you ever had to charge a battery before? Well, that's what this is. Every time that you spend time speaking in tongues, you are edifying yourself. You're charging yourself up. Where? From the inside. By the Spirit of God. It's a spiritual charging, if you will. And it will affect the entirety of your being. How many of you know you are a spirit? You have a soul and you're living a body, right? Amen. Who's the real man? The spirit. That's the real man on the inside. The hidden man of the heart. The inner man, as the Bible calls it. We all are spirit beings. And our spirit, by the Holy Spirit, helps us, it gives us, speaks, and as we do, we're edified. Look over to Ephesians chapter 3. God wants us to be strong, glory to God. He wants us to be strengthened and be strong in the Spirit. I'm reminded in Proverbs where it says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity. The strong spirit. Staying strong spiritually. Well, I'm born again. I understand that. But you know, you can be weak spiritually. It's not just automatic. You can be weak spiritually. You've got to stay charged up. We have to keep ourselves charged up, if you will. Now, it's not that the Holy Spirit goes anywhere or that he weakens. We're not dealing with him. He's strong, right? It's us. It's me. I'm the one that gets edified, not him. He doesn't need recharged. I do. All right. But here in Ephesians 3, verse 14, in Paul's prayer, says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now look at this verse. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might by his Spirit. See, notice, Who's the one going to strengthen us? His Spirit. Where's it going to take place? In our inner man. And we know what he said, one of the ways, and the primary way that's going to happen, is by us speaking unto God and to pray, as you will, if you want to say it that way, in other tongues, as the Spirit gives you utterance. Now, you know, we said this was the initial evidence. That's not the end of it. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost or filled with the Spirit, you begin to speak with tongues. That's not the end of your speaking in tongues. I know I have met some people who said, oh yeah, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost 35 years ago, and if the Lord ever moves on me again, I'll speak in tongues. I had people say that to me. They'd missed out on 35 years of edification, 35 years of talking to God, of speaking forth these mysteries. Right? How many of you know God? It's not a mystery to God. And by the Spirit giving us utterance, we can speak those things. And God does nothing in the earth unless He says it first. And He says it through His people. You want God's plan to happen in your life, you're going to have to speak it out. One of the ways to do that is to speak it out in other tongues. Glory to God. All right? Here's another purpose. This is a great one. Speaking in tongues helps us to pray God's perfect will. Look at Romans chapter 8. Somebody just passed out back there. Help them out. Praise the Lord. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Everybody sit down unless you're medically trained. Pastor Bill's got it taken care of, all right? He'll be back there. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all do it. Everybody just stand up right now. Everybody just stand up right where you are. Amen. Let's lift our voices up, and we don't know how to pray. Let's just pray. Father, Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you that Jesus is the healer. He is the healer. Jesus, you are healer. Glory to God. You are the healer. We praise you and we thank you. We praise you and we thank you. We praise you and we thank you. Hallelujah. We praise you and we thank you. We praise you and we thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, our man's up and walking out already. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, you can all sit back down. Praying God's perfect will. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I wrote 27, 20. I need to read verse 26 up in the booth up there. If you could back up to Romans 8, 26. Sorry about that. I made a mistake here. First time ever. That's a lie. All right. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit. Who did it say? The Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Ever been there? Don't know exactly how to pray about this. He says, but the Spirit itself, really himself, be better, but makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. One translation says, inarticulate speech. In other words, not a language you know. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. Now notice this, according to the will of God. Amen. Praying according to the will of God. Now that's important that we know that, because let's turn over to 1 John chapter 5. What happens when we pray according to the will of God? Do you imagine, don't you think if we pray according to God's will, we're going to get God's will? Right? But let's look what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. All right, back there, he said, he makes intercession for the saints by the Spirit of God here, by the Spirit helping us according to the will of God. Here he says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know. Everybody say, I know. I know that we have the petitions we have desired of him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now you can start out praying in your understanding, but you can switch over into tongues. You don't know exactly, we don't know exactly how it's going to happen or how it's going to take place, but we've got the promise of God and we begin to pray concerning it in other tongues, and we know we're praying according to the will of God. We know, because we don't know how, but I think a lot of times we're praying out the how, we're praying out the plan, we're laying the road, paving the road in front of us, if you will, so we could drive on it, laying the tracks in front of the locomotive, amen, so we could ride on it. As we do that in other tongues, then, amen, we know we have the petitions we have desired of him. Amen? So I can start praying, you know, in a certain area, praying for someone else, interceding for someone. I don't know exactly what they necessarily need in their life. Now, you see, you can get yourself in trouble sometimes. A lot of times, when I intercede, I'm going to pray I can pray certain things. I can pray these prayers for Paul, for any Christian. But praying, I don't know exactly what needs to take place. I can guess, and boy, I can get in trouble. I don't want to pray my opinion. I want to pray the will of God, right? Well, praying in other tongues is one of the ways to do that. Now, another verse, look at John chapter 16 concerning this. Thank God we have the Holy Ghost so that we might pray the will of God. Not just pray it, to know the will of God. Because he is God, the Holy Ghost. Amen? Here in John chapter 16, look what Jesus said here. We'll read verse 13 through 15. John's Gospel, 13 through 15. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, a couple things there, just in that verse alone. He says, he will guide you into all the truth. Well, put that together with according to the will of God. The will of God and the truth of God are one and the same. So as we pray, as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance and we pray that out, we're praying out the truth concerning that situation. Speaking the truth about it. Glory to God. Now see, my opinion may not be the truth. But when I pray this way, I'm praying the truth. He goes on to say, verse 4, and notice there again, and shows you things to come. I can pray the will of God concerning the future because the Holy Ghost knows the future. And he'll show us things. He shall glorify me, so I give glory to God. See, he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Then I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're talking about praying God's perfect will. Praying God's perfect will. You know, in Romans, it talks about the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, right? Now, you can look at that as, you know, some said, well, that's just describing all the will of God. It's just good to be in the will of God. But I think there is being in the perfect will of God. All right? And a lot of times, you know, you can do good things and people can be blessed to a measure. But when you're doing God's perfect will for your life, the results are much greater because it's God's plan. All right? I heard a preacher a long time ago say this, and I've never forgotten. It said, let's quit making our plans and taking them to God and ask Him to bless them. Let's get God's plan. It's already blessed. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love them. Now don't just stop there. He's not done. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Or don't stop there. But God, has revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I mean, when we pray in other tongues, we're able to pray out the deep things of God. Because why? The Spirit knows the deep things of God. He says, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Everybody say no. Here again, not guessing, no. The things that are freely given to us of God. For which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, I'm convinced here part of that, it's not only because we can speak spiritual things in our known tongue, but we can also speak those things, not that man's wisdom taught us, but that the Holy Ghost teaches us. Part of that is praying in tongues. It says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Any of you ever thought that when you're speaking in tongues, how foolish this is? Yeah, because that's your natural man. That's the carnal man. That's your flesh saying that. And sometimes your mind. Thank God one of the benefits of praying in tongues is you shut your mind off. You know, your mind can be a great benefit. It can also be one of your biggest enemies if we're not careful. He said, neither can you know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges or discerns all things. Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thank God. So, as we pray by the Spirit in other tongues, we are able to pray God's perfect will because the Holy Ghost is God. And of course, he knows the deep things of God. And he helps us to pray when we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. Amen. All right. Another great the scriptural purposes for speaking in tongues is that it helps us in magnifying, worshiping, and thanking God. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. Magnifying, worshiping, and thanking God. You know, sometimes, and I'm sure you have too, but have you ever just gotten... Just sometimes I've gotten to the end. I don't know any more words to say. I just can't say. But there's more there I want to say. Because God's greater than any words that I've been taught. He's greater than any words I can look up in the dictionary. He's greater. There's something more that just needs to be said about God. Amen. Well, sometimes you can just speak in other tongues. You can say those things. It seems like you've gotten there when you've done that. Acts chapter 10, verse 45, after that the Holy Ghost, Peter said the Holy Ghost fell upon them. It says, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished because, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And magnify God. Make God bigger. What do you do when you magnify? Makes God bigger. When I speak in tongues, it makes God bigger. Bigger than what? Anything else. Bigger than anything else you can imagine. It doesn't matter what you're facing. Speaking in tongues makes it smaller than God. It already is, but it brings it to our remembrance. All right? It brings it to our remembrance. All right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Magnifying and worshiping and thanking God in the Spirit, in other tongues. I'm convinced. I'll just confess for myself. I won't confess for you. I'll just confess for yourself. I'm convinced I should have spent a lot more time praying in tongues. Should have. Amen? I'm just convinced. And I do quite a bit, but I'm just convinced I should have done more. Not out of some religious that I feel like I'm not worthy of God, but I just know there's more. There's more there. Amen? Hallelujah. One of the things, we're not going to spend on, because I've got several others. We're not going to get to all these. We'll pick up another time after some other time, next time I get a chance. But in talking about this, because you can get the CD from one, put it together. But this is the, speaking in tongues is the entrance into the supernatural gifts and power of God. Amen. And I'm just thinking that, you know, there's more. There's more there for each and every one of us individually. Not for the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but for every Christian. Every Christian can speak in tongues, right? Hallelujah. Chapter 14, verse 14. He says, If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Now notice that. But my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when you shall bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say? Now notice verse 17. For you verily give thanks well, but the others not edified. Okay? What's he talking about? Those in when we're in public, when we're in a church. If I just, again, just started praising God in other tongues and you didn't, it wouldn't edify you. It wouldn't bless you at all. Bless me, and I'm giving thanks well, but I'm not helping you any. Okay? And he says, I thank my God, though. He said, I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul wasn't against speaking in tongues, was he? In fact, later on in the chapter, in verse 39, he said, forbid not to speak with tongues. Don't ever forbid anybody from doing it. Amen. From that, but he said, he talks about being decent in order, and that's a whole nother subject. But thanking God well. I can thank God well. Now, there's sometimes if I'm sitting down to eat by myself, I'll just pray in the Spirit over this food. Sometimes when you look at it, you got to pray in the Spirit. Amen. I've been some places in the world, and you know, I've been some places in the world, and I'm eating, and it's so dark in there. They just handed me a bowl. There's food in it. I can tell. I don't know what's in it, but we're gonna eat. And so someone will always bless the food, you know, thank God. And, you know, but I'm not dependent on their faith. I'm dependent on mine. And so I'll just, you know, speak a little bit in tongues over there on the inside, you know, not embarrassed, but just on the inside over this food. Hallelujah. Now I've spent, in fact, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow it's 20 some trips. I've lost about count of them. How many times I've been to Kenya? We'll be going for about 12 days. And I know this. I've been in Kenya out in different places and traveled there. And my host there, Bishop Alex, he says, oh, dear brother, you have an iron stomach. Because I've never had a 24-hour period of having any stomach ailment. In fact, the only time I ever had any problem, that morning I went and I told the devil, I said, you've done it now. I preached on healing. We had a great healing service. And by the time the service was over, I was healed too. But I wasn't before that. I'm going to tell you that right now. I had symptoms big time. Amen. But I thank God because I pray over things. Sometimes you don't know how to pray as you ought. Whatever this is, glory to God. And people say, well, I've been blessed to be able to do that. Amen. But giving thanks well. We thank God. There's sometimes, like I said, you just don't know. You just don't have the words. You've gotten there. You've said all you could say, but it seems like we got to say more. Paul said, not only will he said, I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with my understanding, with what I know, but I'll also sing with the Spirit. Praise God, we have that available to us also. Amen. Now, I've heard some people say, well, I don't sing. No, everybody sings sometime. You sing along, you're doing something. And you can, especially, this is talking about by yourself here. Now, there is a great anointing. There is a corporateness to also us all lifting our voices and singing in the Spirit. There's an anointing there. There's an uplifting. There's an edification there. Just like when everybody speaks together. I'll never forget one time I was in Kenya and we taught on faith for a few days. But then I started teaching on this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And rather than just do right that, I said, well, here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow morning's session, we're going to minister to you by the laying on of hands that you might receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. Now, we were in a church at that time that you could fit 10 people, 10 Kenyans, all right, about 6 Americans, 10 Kenyans, shoulder to shoulder, all right? I mean, a good 15-passenger van. Now, they've changed the laws over in Kenya now. Everybody has to have a seatbelt. You get a 15-passenger van, carry 25, 30 people. Am I right? I mean, hanging out the doors, it's something else to see. It's miraculous, in fact, to watch. But we had 5 times we put 10 people across the line, and one time we put 5. So 55 people came forward, and all 55 were baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. Amen? Which is interesting because I don't know what language they're speaking. We just prayed with them. You know, said we asked the Father. The Bible says if you ask the Father for the Spirit, he's not going to give you the wrong thing. He's going to give it to you, right? Jesus said. So I had them pray. Ask him. And so they prayed. They repeated it after I said it in English. They said it in that area. They were speaking Luo, Luo tribe area. And so they were speaking the Luo language. So they repeated it in Luo. And then we laid hands on them. And really, by the time we got through 2 or 3, the whole rest of the line, every time, the rest of them had already started speaking in tongues. They came believing. They came expecting. It's just that easy. Well, but I had to ask them, is that Luo? Is that Swahili? What are they speaking? They said, oh, no, I have no idea. That's an unknown tongue. Okay, praise the Lord. You know, going down. Because I had no idea what it was. Amen. And so, after that, I talked to them all. I said, now the Bible says, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with my understanding. So let's just all pray in tongues. I said, now let's stop. And we all stop. Now let's start again. We all started again. See, I will. Everybody say, I will. So it's not the Spirit of God doesn't have to come upon you again to overshadow and make you. Besides, he's not going to make you. He's a gentleman. You choose. Well, the same thing, true Spirit. I said, so let's sing now in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, some of the most beautiful harmonies I've ever heard is in when I've been out in the bush and there in East Africa, and they might have a drum that they'll play, but for the most part, no instruments, and just the harmony, and they began to sing in the Spirit. Oh, my, my, my. You thought heaven itself. Surely the angels are here singing with us. Just the sound that filled the place where we were. You know, amen. But it's as you will. So you can do that at any time. And know that when you do, you're magnifying and worshiping and thanking God well. It's good what you're doing. Amen. That's a good place for us to stop. There's some other things that you can read in the book, and we may, if the Lord leads us to pick up there, I probably think you will. I'm going to keep talking about this, not only with myself, but I think as a minister, because I think it's important that we not let this slip from us, that the importance of speaking in tongues and the great benefit that it is to us. I had the Lord tell me several years ago as I was ministering at different times, he said, son, you become ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You all can come up. You become ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, well, what do you mean? I speak in tongues every day. He said, no, but when's the last time you gave anybody an opportunity in one of your services after you preached to receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with tongues? It had been a long time. And so I repented. Amen. And my my American Baptist grandmother was in that service. Now, she didn't come forward, but several did. Amen. But I've, you know, why the Lord ask you to do that when your granny's there in the service? I don't know. But he did that. But we had several receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So tonight, if you're here tonight and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, tonight's your night. Don't leave here tonight, all right, without receiving that. It's easy. It's for you. Peter said in Acts 2, this gift is for you. For you and your children. It's for your whole house. It's for you. It's for us. Everybody say, it's for me.
It's for me.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand up together. All right, so if you want to receive the Holy Ghost or you need prayer for any other thing, you come on forward up here when we dismiss the men to the men, the ladies to the ladies. They'll help you, lead you right into that experience. Amen. Easiest thing in the world it is to speak in tongues. Same Spirit that saved you comes upon you. It's not a different spirit. Amen. And He's going to help you. Glory to God. And the great, great benefits. Glory to God. Connection team, why don't you help our first-time guests receive that gift from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. Take them to that place. Thank you. Let's give our first-time guests a big hand clap. So glad that you're with us tonight. Hallelujah. Hopefully, come on back. You want to be here on Wednesday night, Pastor? We'll be here Wednesday night. And you want to hear our pastor minister the Word of God? You know, I don't tell him this, but he's been in ministry longer than I've been alive. So I'm not saying how old he is. I'm just saying, you know, that's somebody you can learn something from. You know, it might just be one thing that they say. It might just be one nugget, but oh my. You know, this morning I was sitting there and I've heard him preach on overcoming fear before, but he said some things this morning. I was like, oh, just my spirit just reached up there and grabbed that. So that's for me, glory to God. Amen. So come expecting. Hallelujah. We good? Everything? What's that? David's good? Yeah, he's good. He's fine. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll get even with him later for interrupting my sermon. No, Dave, we love Brother David. Amen. All right. God bless you tonight. We love you. Have a great week.